You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief show here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm going to be hanging out here with you for two more hours. It's a four-hour show. We get started every single weeknight at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. It is oh so good to be home. I spent all of last week in Phoenix, Arizona. That was fun. Ran into everybody. My main man Sully just called. Was with Sully last week and saw Tim Brown, my friends from Special Olympics. Hey, shout outs to my main man Malcolm. Let me tell you something. Malcolm is a Special Olympics athlete from Florida. And he was there at the Super Bowl last night. Anquan Boldin. Yeah, Anquan Boldin, Mr. Knockout, played for the Arizona Cardinals, played for the Ravens. He got Malcolm tickets. Malcolm was actually at the post-game press conference. And he asked Patrick Mahomes a question. Like, these are the type of things that excite me, that Malcolm doesn't have to feel different or separate. And this is no matter of charity. Like, he's asking better questions than some of them jerks who sit around and try to be, you know, idiots all day to the players. So kudos to my main man, Malcolm, being a correspondent, a sports correspondent for Special Olympics and doing a damn good job at it. And then also, much love to Fansided for being a partner and understanding the importance of inclusivity and opening up the door. Kudos to Anquan Boldin and everyone who realizes the importance of inclusivity. I absolutely love it. I love it, I love it, I love it. We should have more instances and stories like this to the point where they're not even stories. And Malcolm met everybody. We talked about Joe Montana and Tim Brown. Just the list goes on and on and on. Anyway, as we continue on here, the Super Bowl is a topic of conversation. We've talked about the greatness of Patrick Mahomes, him being able to add to his legacy, tick a few more boxes off on his resume. We talked about Jalen Hurts. Without a shadow of a doubt, he's established himself as one of the best quarterbacks in the game. And he's going to be paid as such. Unfortunately for the Philadelphia Eagles, they have so many free agents on the team. Jason Kelce, pretty much been a centerpiece at center, one of the best in the game. He's going to be a free agent. You think about the defensive side of the football, Brandon Graham, Hargrave, Ndamukong Suh, Linval Joseph, the veterans, Fletcher Cox, Bradbury. Center of attention for that holding call. He's going to be a free agent. Like, none of this is going to be easy for the Philadelphia Eagles to just bounce right on back. You know, Nick Sirianni, he got his behind handed to him in the second half. The Eagles couldn't generate not one sack against Patrick Mahomes. And a lot of the conversation has obviously been around the holding call. And it sucked the life out of the game. Bradbury is out there holding Juju Smith-Schuster. The referees call it. It resets the downs, moves us from 3rd and 8 back to 1st down. Chiefs didn't have to do anything but milk the living hell out of the clock. Patrick Mahomes is running for 26 yards untouched. And then they kick a field goal to basically take the lead. And there's no time left for the Eagles to do anything. So don't blame the damn refs. Blame the Eagles. They couldn't hold on to the momentum they had in the first half of the game. And Nick Sirianni, he pretty much said as much. He's like, yo, leave the damn refs alone. We blew it.
You'll see me on the sideline. I'm going to argue with different things of calls here and there, but it's not my job to make the call. You know, those guys got to do that in split second, you know, scenarios. And so, you know, that's what he saw, and he called it. And so that's never – I know it always appears to be that you know, it's one call that makes the, it's not what it is, right? It's not what it is. There's so many plays that contribute to the end result of the game. And and today they were better than we were.
Damn good game until the end. And it was the right thing to do. So I'm not going to argue that. It just sucked the life out of everything that took place. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Marty's calling from Pittsburgh. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Marty?
Hey, JR. I kind of agree. I think that call could have went either way, whether he calls it or doesn't call it. I think it's a close play. But one thing that I wanted to ask your opinion on, just watching the whole game and watching the routes that that Kansas City was running the entire game and the situation that they're in, I think one of the things that led to the call was when Juju's coming out of his cut, he has the defensive back beat by a step, step and a half until he gets grabbed. I think he's trying to run an out, not an up. I think once the pattern gets broken, he turns it up, and then Mahomes tries to throw it over the top. But if you look just that situation, I don't think Kansas City really wanted to throw the ball into the end zone because they didn't want to score a touchdown. They wanted the first down. They needed, I think it was 3rd and 7.
Third and 8.
And 3rd and 8. In that little pattern, it looks like Juju's trying to get to the outside until he gets grabbed, breaking the route. So Juju being, an experienced receiver, when the route gets broken, you cut it off and you continue and go downfield. And I think that's what he did. But I just wanted to get your opinion on what you thought about the route and the situation, because I think they much more wanted to get the first down than they wanted to get the touchdown so they could do what
they eventually
did.
What are you saying? Patrick Mahomes tried to draw him into a penalty?
No. I don't think he tried to draw him into a penalty. I think the original route was Juju to go just on the slant to an out. And when he goes to cut to the out, he gets grabbed and pulled, and it breaks off the route.
Yeah, he ran in and then tried to go back out, and Bradbury got caught, and he grabbed him by his jersey. I mean, that's exactly what happened. And did he maul him in the process of it? No, he didn't maul him. Did he have a gigantic fistful of jersey? No, he didn't. But he had enough. And they took advantage of it.
Yeah.
And Juju Smith-Schuster, to his credit, he got up and he wasn't yelling and crying about it. And the people who have made took issue with that as well. And thank you, Marty, for calling from Pittsburgh. There are people who went, oh, well, if Juju Smith-Schuster was actually held, then why didn't he make a fuss? Patrick Mahomes was right there yelling at the ref. How many people do we need yelling at the ref? Not everybody's going to get up like a raging a lunatic in the process. You know, the call was the call. It is what it is. And most certainly Juju Smith-Schuster was getting ready to run out. You know, what the intention was, I think they would want to take it to the house. Why not? 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. Keith is here from Santa Clara. What's up, Keith?
Hey, Owen, JR. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I've actually been listening to your guys' show for, I'd say, about a year, maybe a year and a half, and this is my first time ever calling a show. And I think I felt passionate about making the call today because I've heard so many arguments about this holding call. Like, you know, a few of my friends, you know, back home in Boston are just telling me, you know, he shouldn't have made that call. You know, with that much time left, he just shouldn't have made that call. He ruined the game. Well, as much as we would have loved to have seen, you know, a dramatic comeback from the Eagles or maybe go into overtime, if the refs didn't make that call, he would have been accused of being biased.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. If it was on the other end, the Chiefs fans would have been throwing a fit.
No question.
He's in a no-win. Somebody is always going to complain about something.
No question. And I do believe that the integrity of the game would have been called into question if something like that were to happen on a regular basis.
Sure. There's a look, and thank you, Keith. These dudes are human beings. Like, would it have been nice to have it not called? Yeah, of course. We don't mind a little, I don't want to say underhanded tactics in sports. But, you know, you try to chip away and get away with what you can in the course of a game. You do. In basketball, I mean, you try to get a little elbow in there. You know, in boxing, a referee says stop, referee says chill out. You know, maybe try to, you know, slip a punch in there in the process while he says stop and just get away with a little warning and hope that you don't have points taken away. Man, this is football. This is contact all the damn way. You're going to try to get a little grab, a little hold. It happens all the time. In the case of, oh, man, in this particular play, in this specific moment, in this exact second, the referee should not call it. Like, that's not fair to the ref. You done sat down and watched this thing on a replay from 8 and 20 different angles. You had a better vantage point on your couch than a referee had right there in front of his damn face. He saw what took place and he blew the whistle.
JR, I got a question for you.
Please.
How often do you see a player in that tense of a moment, that big of a moment, understand that his penalty essentially led to the game-winning score and then gave the Eagles no time left whatsoever to do something about it after the fact? But James Bradberry, man, we got to give this guy credit. You don't hear too often an athlete saying, yeah, the ref got it right. There's no complaining on our part. Like, it's one thing for a coach to get up on the microphone and give the party line. But for a player who the penalty was called against, for him to say the ref got it right. Like, he deserves all the credit in the world for that. And I don't hear enough people giving him his flowers for that.
It's nice to hear it, man. It's nice to hear it. Most times the referees are being obliterated. It's nice to hear. Matter of fact, this is what James Bradberry had to say after the game about the penalty. Thank you, Shep.
I mean, that's not up for my judgment. You know, I was hoping he would let it go, but of course, you know, he's a ref. It's a big game, and it was a hold, so they called it.
Yeah. Case closed. If you're in Philadelphia, be mad about the defense. Be mad about that penalty. Man, we had 30 minutes. We had a whole 30-minute half of football. You know, be upset at that. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Brian is calling from Atlanta. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show.
Hey, what's up, boss man? Love the show. Love you guys. You're the best in the business. I was just curious what you had to say about Mr. Berman's comment after the game last night.
It was one of the dumbest things I've ever had. Would you care to share with the audience what he said?
Well, I don't know if I'm the best person to do this. Basically, lightened the fact that two black quarterbacks for the first time ever were in the Super Bowl, and it happened to be on Abraham Lincoln's birthday.
Yeah.
I don't know how far he was reaching. I don't know how far he sat on that. Why was that his lead into the ESPN coverage? It blew my mind. I had to rewind it twice.
Well, that was pretty, I don't know if ignorant is the word, but out of left field statement.
He was searching for a topic.
He's trying to, I don't know if he's trying to be cool or what he was trying to do, but it was an out of left field dumbass thing to say. It's like Tony Romo calling a football game and, you know, thinking about Michael Jordan and Clyde Drexler. It's stupid.
All right, boys, love the show. Y'all are the best in the business.
Well, thank you, Brian, for calling from Atlanta. Yeah, that had to be the dumbest thing that I heard anybody say last night. It had nothing to do with a damn thing.
You want to hear it?
No.
Good.
It's like, hey, we got black guys here. Oh, by the way, Abraham Lincoln. Oh, well, Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves so we can have football. Great. Yeah, that was a dumbass thing to say. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4CBS. Damon's calling from Houston.
Hello?
Yes, you would happen to be live on the radio to 300 stations and markets. Go ahead, Damon.
Oh, yes, sir. Wonderful to always hear your show. You have
all the aspects of what is necessary to have us understand what goes on with sports, all of sports. But this is my caveat to what's going on. I think that the defense really let the team down as far as the Philadelphia Eagles. And don't get me wrong. I am a New Orleans Saints fan, 100%. 100%. But when I watch that game, Ndamukong Suh knows exactly what needs to happen. And I think that with him being a captain, I don't know if he's a captain, but with him being a veteran and knowing what it is to be in Super Bowls, they let him down. And I'm not saying that Jalen Hurts didn't make any mistakes, but and the referees, they did what they did. And they always do what they do. Nothing's new. What do you think about that, sir?
You sound slightly apologetic for a fact. We talked about that earlier on in the show. Patrick Mahomes was sacked zero times. They didn't touch the man. He's running around scrambling for 26 yards. Like, it's not a shock that the defense stunk at the end. This is a defense that led the world in sacks with 70 at a historical rate and pace, and they couldn't hit one of the best quarterbacks that we've seen play football. And
yeah,
so
but
I agree
just
with
real
you.
Quick, my brother, just
yes.
Real quick, what are their stats, sir? If you don't
I'm sorry.
Mind me asking. What are the Philadelphia Eagles defense, what are their stats, sir?
What do you mean the Eagles' stats? I mean, that's a very
as
broad
far
question.
As being the best defense, sir.
Oh, well, the Eagles are ranked number one. They led the league in sacks with 70. They had one of the best defensive backfields in the game due to the front. Just guys rushing Hargrave and Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham. They numbers-wise, was one of the best defenses in the league. I don't have every stat in front of me.
Okay, no problem, but I'm staying down. I'm not apologetic. They let him down.
Yeah, well, it sounded like, you know, it was – the way you
I'm
presented
not doing,
it
no.
was like it was a yeah. surprise that they let him down.
Yeah, I apologize, man, but no,
no
I apologize
sweat.
For that. But no,
no
they let him down.
To,
no.
Nothing to apologize about. And thank you so much, Damon, for calling from Houston. Yeah, that was as clear as day. In between the Eagles and the 49ers, man, that's like one or two defense, depending on what metric you want to look at. They didn't get the job done. And that's what happens when you take on one of the best. Some guys just cannot be stopped. Patrick Mahomes is one of those guys that could not be stopped. Hassan Reddick mentioned it after the game. Yes, the same Hassan Reddick who wrecked the game for the 49ers, the other great defense. This is what Hassan Reddick had to say about not being able to stop Patrick Mahomes, especially in that second half.
We had a good game plan, a lot of chipping, stuff like that, trying to, you know, for the most part, getting the ball out fast, you know. Game plan worked. That's a credit to them.
Patrick Mahomes didn't have to lose his mind last night. Only, I say this, only 182 yards passing. Three touchdowns. Did not turn the football over. We saw Jalen Hurts turnover. Went right back to the end zone the other way. And Patrick Mahomes decided to contribute 44 yards on the ground. The biggest of them, that 26-yard scramble at the end of the game that helped set up that field goal. And so there were plenty of instances where the Eagles' defense was just like, should it be this easy? Okay, fine, sure. Yeah, it's Patrick Mahomes. But should it be this easy? And the stats and numbers that Patrick Mahomes has already started to accumulate at only the age of 27 years old is just astronomical. Second Super Bowl victory, a second career MVP, 11th player. I could just go on down the list. I'm not even going to bother. He is in exclusive company. He's already, and this is not a matter of, oh, it's too early. Oh, it's too soon. Oh, he hasn't played enough. Oh, well, this guy this and could have did this and should. He is in Tom Brady company. He is in Peyton Manning company. If you think about quarterbacks who have won multiple Super Bowls, if you only look at that number, if you only look at that stat, we just celebrated the centennial a couple of years ago for the NFL. 100 years of this damn thing. You got to go back to the 60s and think about the first Super Bowl. 13 starting QBs to have won multiple. Only 13. Patrick Mahomes is already there, and he's with guys like John Elway, Terry Bradshaw, Roger Staubach, obviously Peyton Manning, and that other guy who just retired, Tom Brady. Is he going to get 6 and 7 and 10 and 4 and 5? We have no idea. But he is already in exclusive company. You look at his MVPs. You look at his Super Bowl MVPs. You look at his statistics. You look at his numbers. If Patrick Mahomes quit tomorrow, of which there'd be no reason to, Patrick Mahomes would be going to the Hall of Fame. And all he's going to do is keep stacking these numbers up, God willing he stays healthy. We'll hear about how great he is on the other side. His teammates, the opposition, people show him love. He's an easy guy to like. I'm waiting on Patrick Mahomes to just, I don't want to say like kick an old lady or, you know, nah, I can't even apply some of the things Antonio Brown has done to Patrick Mahomes. It doesn't even seem logical or make sense. Anyway, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're going to hear about Mahomes' greatness from his own, I don't know, his own teammates, his own coach on the other side. I'm going to pick up your calls as well. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
JR, it should be called the Genius Sports Brief Show.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
There ain't no genius here, man. Genius, I'll be sitting around, I don't know, in a lab or something like that, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. Right before we went to break, we talked about Patrick Mahomes, how great he is. There's only 13 quarterbacks now who have won multiple Super Bowls. You can put him in there. The names, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Joe Montana, John Elway, Roger Staubach, Terry Bradshaw. And by the way, we'll talk about Terry Bradshaw in the next break. He was a little loose with the lips when talking to Andy Reid in that post-game celebration. There are a lot of fat guy references, but we'll get to that shortly. Troy Aikman, Bart Starr, Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, Jim Plunkett, Bob Greasy. And those guys at the top of the list, Patrick Mahomes certainly deserves to be there. Andy Reid spoke after the game. Andy Reid talked about what makes Patrick Mahomes so damn good.
He grew up in a locker room. He's seen the greats, and he strives to be the greatest. I mean, without saying anything, that's the way he works. I mean, he wants to be the greatest player ever. That's what he wants to do, and that's the way he goes about his business. And he does it humbly, you know? I mean, there's no bragging. He could stand up here and give you these stats that are incredible that he's had, but he's never going to do that. That's just not him. And so we appreciate that. And then when it's time for the guys around to raise their game, he helps them with that. He's one of these great quarterbacks make everybody around him better, including the head coach.
Yeah, Andy Reid's certainly a beneficiary of playing here with Patrick Mahomes. And when he references Mahomes being in a locker room growing up, he's talking about being around his dad, who was a pitcher in the majors. His dad was a pitcher for the New York Mets, and their photos, you can find them online, of Patrick Mahomes just kind of shagging balls in the outfield, I think, with like Mike Hampton. They have pictures of him just, it's pretty cool, it's pretty fun. Travis Kelce, the complete nut. Shep, what is he going to do when he retires? He's going to be in a microphone. He has to be, right?
Oh, he's going to be behind a mic, no doubt about that. He's going to be like a Gronk figure.
Yeah, he scored a touchdown. He's over here doing a stanky leg last night. I'm like, he's a nut. He's smart enough to know that Patrick Mahomes is the man. Listen to this.
Toughest son of a gun you ever met, man. That Texas gunslinger ain't going to let nothing get in the way.
Yeah. And then he was crazy right after the game. Let's hear that on Fox. Let's get more Kelce. More.
Hey, get this man right here.
I know you're emotional.
Let us, man, one of y'all said the Chiefs were going to take it home this year. Not a single one. Feel it. And on top of that, next time the Chiefs say something, put some respect on our name.
Yeah, he's just a wild dude. Like, I wouldn't want to be near that guy at a party. He looked like he having too much fun.
He's got to stop with the, you got to fight for your right to party. That's played out, Kelce. You're a little better than that.
You got to fight for your right?
Yeah, he's got to stop saying that after every single win, yes.
Is he going to wear that? He's going to have that on a T-shirt at the parade, right?
I would assume so. But, JR, it is amazing when you consider the fact that, and I know you've said this before, and fans have as well, he's the same age as Rob Gronkowski. Gronkowski is already retired twice.
Well, Rob Gronkowski just took a beating.
Yeah.
And just dragged everybody. Got 5'10" defensive backs trying to bite his ankles and hit his elbows. It's cool to see how many more numbers Travis Kelce can put up. I have no idea what he was doing at that post game. And this is crazy. You know, let's actually get to that now. Terry Bradshaw was talking and interviewing Andy Reid after the game during the trophy presentation. And I'm like, how many fat guy jokes can Terry Bradshaw kind of fit into this 1 minute? He tells him, hey, man, waddle on over here. I'm like, well, damn, bruh. And then we go from waddle on over at the end. He's just like, oh, well, let's – oh, go get yourself a cheeseburger. It's like, sure, he likes cheeseburgers, but just listen to Terry Bradshaw on Fox.
Let me get the big guy in here. Come on, waddle over here. I know that you're getting up in years now like me, and I just know that it's got to be a time. You got to say to yourself, time to ride off into the sunset. That's not going to happen, is it?
No. I'm going to enjoy this one right here. I'm going to tell you, this is unbelievable.
Have a cheeseburger on us and enjoy the Hawaiian shirts.
I will.
Damn. In different circumstances, I guess I am laughing. A little bit of laughing. Like, damn, he really said that. How many fat – in the span of 2 minutes, he called him fat, called him old. Hey, man, wild on over here. And then we know Andy Reid, he does like Hawaiian shirts. He basically called his man old, fat, and said he can't move. Like, what? Where else are we getting away with that?
So, JR, so my question for you would be, in that instance, do we look at the source and say Terry Bradshaw, maybe aside from Charles Barkley, makes fun of himself more than anybody else on the airwaves, and there's such a respect that the old heads have. Andy Reid certainly qualifies as such, and I don't mean that as an insult. I mean it as a guy who is a historian of the game. Andy Reid is. He loves Terry Bradshaw. He adores Terry Bradshaw. So it's this affectionate friendship respect thing. But he's deriding him in a very colorful, playful,
yeah,
friendly
but how
way.
Many? How many you got to fit in there?
But JR, you know what you're getting when you put Terry Bradshaw up at that podium, though.
That's why he's there. Yeah. I'm not complaining.
Right.
I'm just saying, damn, how many fat old jokes you gonna fit in there?
But you laughed. You found it funny, and you heard it before.
Oh yeah, I found it funny because it's just like, damn, relax. This, you know what, it can be funny and you can go, yeah, you can love him and like him. It ain't all that funny when this man is probably, his doctor sits down and tells him, you need to relax. That ain't funny.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so I mean, yeah, sure, he may like him and, oh, it's all in jest. Come on, waddle on over here and go have a cheeseburger. Damn. And we've had Terry Bradshaw here before. I like him, but sometimes he's a little nutty. Last night was nutty. Now, the people who have decided to start petitions to remove Terry Bradshaw for fat shaming, you know, Coach Andy Reid. Just chill out, relax. A little doing too much there. Matter of fact, when we come back, I'm going to do the opposite of fat shame Andy Reid. I'm going to run down some of his accomplishments. Because Andy Reid is already one of the best coaches that we have ever seen in the NFL. Good, bad, ugly, everything in between. He's one of the most accomplished. I'm going to run you through those stats, and you'll hear from Patrick Mahomes. He thinks his head coach is damn good. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, I just want to say appreciate you taking my call, and love the show, and always respect your opinion.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
So Terry Bradshaw making fun of Andy Reid. A little funny. A little funny, might be a little much. Waddle over here, go have a cheeseburger. Whoa. Anyway, I also find this to be slightly funny, slightly hilarious. Tonight, the Minnesota Timberwolves defeated the Dallas Mavericks 124-121. Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving were back on the floor again. I think this would have been their second appearance. And Kyrie Irving decided to score 26 points in the fourth quarter. He entered into the fourth quarter with only 10 points, and they still lost. So he finished with 36 points. Luka Doncic had 33. Christian Wood had 24. And there was not another Dallas Maverick who scored more than 6 points. Your Dallas Mavericks, ladies and gentlemen. They're going to be jacking up shots and just losing. Poor guys. Well, they'll win, but they ain't winning nothing. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Back to Andy Reid. He's not just a cheeseburger-loving, Hawaiian shirt-wearing, waddling head coach. He's going to go down as one of the most successful head coaches in NFL history. Let's think about this for a minute. Andy Reid is now the 14th head coach to win multiple Super Bowls. He's fifth all-time in victories. And he's about to pass Tom Landry. Give him next year. He has 247 wins. Landry has 250. And then next up, you got Belichick, Halas, and Shula. He ain't catching them guys. 22 playoff wins. Second most all-time. Well, when you coach for 24 years with Philadelphia, almost Philadelphia Eagles, and then you're here 10 years at Kansas City, and you got all these damn playoff games. Yeah, he's second all-time in playoff wins. 10 conference title games, 4 appearances, 2 Super Bowl victories. Andy Reid is one of the best coaches that we have seen here in the NFL. And then after the game, Patrick Mahomes told everybody as much. Listen to this.
We had to win this one right here. I mean, Coach Reid did so many great things for the Eagles. And to be in this big game, I mean, I know he has a ton of respect for everybody still over there. But we had to win this game for Coach Reid. And this is one of the greatest coaches of all time. He needs that second Super Bowl ring to solidify that. But I'm going to keep him around a little bit longer. We're going to go for some more of those things.
Yeah, why not? I don't get why there were. You know, why there was really any commentary. Oh, that Andy Reid might quit. Andy Reid might leave. Andy Reid might step away. I'm like, this man is winning, and he still has the potential to win. And Andy Reid, he's getting ready to turn 65. He ain't ancient. Continue to go out there and keep winning. That was Patrick Mahomes on the NFL Network, and Andy Reid was just as complimentary of Mahomes. Listen to this. Showing him love. Listen again.
He grew up in a locker room. He's seen the greats, and he strives to be the greatest. I mean, without saying anything, that's the way he works. I mean, he wants to be the greatest player ever. That's what he wants to do. And that's the way he goes about his business. And he does it humbly. You know, I mean, there's no bragging. He could stand up here and give you these stats that are incredible that he's had, but he's never going to do that. That's just not him. And so we appreciate that. And then when it's time for the guys around to raise their game, he helps them with that. He's one of these great quarterbacks make everybody around him better, including the head coach.
Yeah, this is a Hall of Fame combination. Run the well until it's dry, man. We know Andy Reid is not going to coach due to age. Well, I'd be shocked. He ain't going to coach Patrick Mahomes for the rest of his career. That's not going to happen. I'd be shocked if it does. But, man, run the well until it's dry. 855-212-4CBS. David's calling from Pittsburgh.
Hey, JR. Good evening. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, a couple things that I'm just fascinated with how the football season played out, because I agree with everything that you're saying about Mahomes and how the narrative changed from before the AFC Championship and Joe Burrow was on the rise and Allen in Buffalo. And now I agree with you. At the end of the day, it's all about the hardware. And now he's got two, and the other ones are still chasing their first. So moving forward, I wanted to see what your thoughts were on how much pressure gets turned up on them. And then just secondly, a comment. I'm chuckling listening to you and Shep talk about Terry Bradshaw, but here's the, because you never know what he is going to say, and that's the entertainment side of him. But the other thing, you gave him his due tonight, and I really respect you for that. Because there's a lot of shows where he doesn't get his due. They'll talk about Brady and Montana and not even mention Bradshaw. And for your listeners out there that are younger, I invite them, go on YouTube and watch the two throws he made in Super Bowl 10 to Swan and Super Bowl 14 to Stallworth. So no question, Bradshaw had the steel curtain, that when it came to the postseason, hey, he's every bit as deserving as Joe Montana, and I'm not taking anything away from Joe. I think he's great.
I'm about to say, let's slow down here just a little bit. I understand your point, but go ahead.
Yeah, but I was just going to say, I give you a lot of credit because you, and I listen to you all the time, you give Bradshaw his due, and there are a lot of talk shows that don't. They just gloss over him like he was never there.
But because he wasn't someone, and I didn't see Terry Bradshaw play, but
right.
from highlights and what I know, and from speaking to him and speaking to his teammates and a lot of other things that I've learned and know, yeah, he was good. He wasn't in the category of a Joe Montana, and for what you said, a lot of people don't give him his due, but you can't take away from what he accomplished. Not at all. 855-212-4CBS. Tom is here from California. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hello?
Yeah, hello to you, Tom. What's up?
I just wanted to change a little pace on the game. I wanted to bring up a point that I thought really changed the outcome of the game. It was third and 1 foot. It was in the second quarter. It was 14-7 Philadelphia, and they got called for a false start. And we all know what happened on the very next play. And I think that change the outcome of the game, we might be talking a whole different story about Jalen.
I don't know what happened on the next play. Remind me.
Jalen, he fumbled the ball, and Kansas City took it to the house.
Oh, okay.
And tied up the game.
Well, what about everything else? What about the other 59 minutes and 30 seconds of the game?
It was an awesome football game.
Okay.
I just think that might have changed it. And we might be talking about Jalen Hurts.
The penalty. Wait. The penalty or the turnover?
The penalty led to the turnover. Because it was at a third and one, backed into a third and five.
Okay.
Right. Brought in.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Different play.
Okay. Shep, what do you think about that? not the actual turnover leading to 6 points, but the actual penalty that preceded it.
It's a fair point. I don't know if he elocuted it the way that he wanted to when he got on the call with you, but that was a huge turning point, an opportunity to get another seven, and ultimately they didn't. But JR, what we're also not talking about, honestly, is the missed field goal by Harrison Butker. Like,
yeah,
if he makes
nobody
that,
cares.
Nobody cares, right? So
yeah, because yeah, it didn't come down to it.
It didn't.
Yeah, that's the thing. People, it's 60 minutes to a damn game, folks. 60 minutes to look at any one play, let alone, oh man, oh well, the penalty before led to the turnover. Well, I can think about a million other things that took place before that, like them whooping that ass. Like Shep just said, the field goal. Everybody wants to be caught up in the, well, this was a hole. There's always something. Everybody always wants to look at, and this should let you know what type of world we live in, and it's true. What have you done for me lately? That's it. People remember the last thing that took place. Go ask Joe Asai from the Bengals. This man's playing his ass off. They remember the last thing. One of his own teammates. What have you done for me lately? Getting all emotional at the end and people getting caught up. Come on now. Look at the big picture. I try to. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We've talked about the game. We talked about Andy Reid. We've talked about Jalen Hurts. You've heard from Jalen Hurts. You heard from Nick Sirianni. We talked about Rihanna. It's kind of crazy that we haven't talked about any of these stupid commercials. I guess because they suck. I'm going to get to your calls on the other side. We'll get into that here on CBS Sports Radio.